God has an encouraging word for you and me today through the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don Wilson as we pray for God to bless America. It's a prayer that so many of us pray every single day. God, would you bless our country? And in this two-part series, Dr. Don brings to conclusion this opportunity for you and me to unite our hearts and pray God's blessing on our country. As we open the Word together, know that we're available to pray with you and for you anytime, keyboard to keyboard, on our website at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org, or on our phone number, 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store us in your cell, make us a contact, 866-899-9673. We'd be happy to pray with you and for you anytime, day or night. Now, let's open God's Word together to the book of Isaiah with Dr. Don Wilton's message, God Bless America.
But there are three fundamental principles that God gives us in His Word concerning our Christian duty. God was speaking to the children of Israel. He said to them, listen, I want to tell you something. I don't only want the rulers to hear this word, I want the people to hear this word. Because when the rulers hear the word, they will apply the word of God. And when the people of the land listen to the word of God, they will apply the statutes of the word of God. And when you put the law and you put the word together, you've got a nation that will rise up and honor the basic precepts of Almighty God. We are one nation under God, and I believe that God is none other than the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So why is it my Christian duty? Number one, because we are as accountable as our leaders according to God's Word. If you go into verse 15, just the last part of verse 15, I tell you folks, it's one of the most staggering statements I've ever seen. When God turns to the children of Israel, doesn't pick on the rulers, doesn't pick on the people. He talks about all of them. He says, your hands are full of blood. Now watch what God is saying to me, folks, why I must go and vote as a Christian man. Because what God is telling me is stop pointing a finger at the White House and the State House. Stop pointing a finger at every other department. Stop blaming the government and understand that when a country begins to turn its back upon God, that it is God's people that God holds accountable. Wake up, America! Wake up. We are as accountable as our leaders. Number two, second reason why it's my Christian duty is because I'm guilty of sin. According to the Bible, when I do not influence and elect leaders who stand by the moral truths of God's Word, I'm guilty. You say, what difference can 40 million evangelical Christians make? We've heard so much rhetoric about every vote counts. You better believe every vote counts. Today I'm concerned about Don Wilton. I am a Christian. My vote counts. But it counts above all because I'm doing it as unto the Lord, because of who I am in His presence. If you go to verse 23, Bible says there your rulers are rebels and they love bribes and give. Said they don't defend the cause of the fatherless, talks about widows, etc. I've heard people say God's not interested in the welfare of people. Excuse me? When America is silent, when those of us who have God's standards to walk upon, when we remain home and we rear back into our apathetic self-contentment, what happens? Exactly what God says. Folks, I've had the privilege of being on Capitol Hill a number of times. I've sat in Senate chambers. My heart has been ripped open as I've heard United States senators say to me, Dr. Wilton, I want you to know that we don't even bother anymore going to the church in America because the church in America couldn't care less. We don't hear from them anymore. God's people never say anything. They don't stand up. I've heard senators say that, and I've heard people a lot more powerful than that say that to me. It breaks my heart. It's a stinging indictment against my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, John Revel, who wrote some tremendous things in these regard, he said, and I'm going to quote John Revel, because we know God's moral standards for our government, and because we have the ability to elect and influence our elected leaders accordingly, when our elected leaders continually defy God's moral expectations, and when we fail to respond through our vote and contact with our elected leaders, we sin. What did God tell us in James chapter 4 and verse 17? Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. Now, folks, that is a staggering statement. Why do I need to exercise my Christian duty? Not my American duty. I've spoken about my privilege, my love for America, my care for the future. But you can put all that aside, my Christian duty, because I'm held accountable before God. Number two, because if I don't do it, I'm guilty of sin. And number three, because we are a reflection of God. That's what God's telling the children of Israel. You march according to a different drumbeat. Why am I a reflection of Almighty God? Why am I a mirror of the soul and the heart of God? Number one, we believe His word. Number two, we try to live by His word. Number three, we apply His word. Number four, we stand on His word. Now, folks, if I stand here in this pulpit Sunday by Sunday, and I say to you, folks, get out your Bibles. Let's understand what God says. Let's find out what God says and apply it in the fabric of our daily lives. John Revel said, and I'm going to quote again. Listen to this. When we, those of us who are evangelical Christians, when we remain silent at the polls, the watching world could falsely conclude from our actions that God is not really concerned about these issues. You know the message we send to America? God's not interested. We actually send a message to America that a political platform and ideology is more important than God. It's why we are increasingly becoming a humanistic society. That's why increasingly America revolves around who? Me. That's why people increasingly hold up the banner of personal preference, personal conviction. That's why we no longer believe in moral absolutes. That's why we no longer stand upon the absolutes of God's word, because we abdicate. We say it's not our business. We're just going to watch the world go by. Question one, who am I? I'm a Christian man. Question number two, why do I bother to go and vote? God bless America. Question number three, what governs my vote? I've heard all of this, but when I actually get in there and I try to figure out what I'm supposed to do and which button to push, what governs my vote? Well, I can tell you a lot of things that govern our votes, folks. Number one, my age. Your age will govern your vote. People vote according to age. I promise you, people who are 50 and older, they see life from a different perspective to those who are in college. Your education will govern your vote. Your position, my position will govern my vote. My gender, an old phrase, give a dog a bone, I'm a man. So I'm going to vote like a man. I eat like a man, I walk like a man, sound like a man, play football like a man. I give a dog a bone like a man. I'm going to vote like a man. Why do you think people around the country say, well, I'm going to go and do something to try and win the woman's vote or the men's vote? Well, because our gender is important, folks. We've got things that are important to us. They're things very important to the heart of a lady. They're very important to the heart of a gentleman. My traditions will govern my vote. I've heard people say, well, you know, my daddy always voted that way, so I'm going to do it too. My pocket will govern my vote. Boy, as long as there's money in it, you got my vote. You so much as suggest that I might have to pay some tiny little tax to improve Spartanburg, and I'm going to get into a spin over it because it's going to take one poor little cent out of my pocket. I'm against that. Our pockets, folks, determine our vote. We can't see beyond it. We cannot look beyond the chicken. All we want to do is feed our tummies. My welfare, my well-being will dictate my vote. But folks, let me tell you what ought to govern my vote. My faith in Jesus Christ. Because I'm a Christian.
Forgive the interruption. You're listening to Dr. Don Wilton. And what you're hearing today about this message on God Bless America is something that calls us to do more than just what it is at the ballot box, but what it is we do on our knees every single day. We believe in the power of prayer. If you'd like to have someone pray with you right now, we're here at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. You can also meet us online at tewonline.org. While you're there, tewonline.org, you'll see the news about a wonderful couple, friends of the ministry, that have given a remarkable $200,000 challenge gift. And that gift is something that will, in these last few days of the year, multiply the ministry of this biblically based teaching around the globe. Would you prayerfully consider financially getting involved? The number to call is 866-899-9673 to share your gift, or you can give online at tewonline.org. That's tewonline.org. Now back to today's great teaching with Dr. Don Wilton.
Now why? My Christian faith means a number of things. It means, number one, that I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. It means that I'm inspired by the Holy Spirit. I'm motivated by God's Spirit. It means that I'm instructed by the Holy Spirit. He teaches me and He shows me His moral compass. These are principles of God's Word. Number four, I'm influenced by the Holy Spirit. God bless America, my dear friends. Now listen to this. If I, Don Wilton, want God to bless America, then God alone must determine my vote. And so the question is God really interested in what goes on? I'm going to tell you absolutely yes. It's not a political platform or a manifesto or a party. God's compass comes from the heart of God. And if I'm willing to say, God bless America, and stand in the football stadiums and sing, God bless America, God needs to be the one consulted related to the issues that God sets forth. Let me give you three. Number one, why does God determine my vote? Number one, because He has something to say about life. Now let's consider the matter of life, folks. Let's talk about the matter of stem cell research. A very important issue. People get affected by it because it affects our families and our loved ones. It's a volatile, personal issue. So how do I decide something that affects me personally because of my loved ones? I can understand these things. How do we make a distinction? How does the Christian vote on a matter related to stem cell research? Now listen to this. Because of the sanctity of life, I must support important scientific research without undermining the fundamental ethical principles that have guided medical research for decades, folks. I must support a policy because of what God teaches about life. I must support a policy that prevents taxpayer dollars from being used to encourage the future destruction of human embryos. I must support a comprehensive ban on human cloning. Why? And on the creation of human embryos solely for the purpose of experimentation. Why? Not because of politics or because of a manifesto or because of anything, but because God has got something to say about the sanctity of life. That's why. That's why. Matter of abortion is equally critical to the Christian. God must govern my vote when it comes to the matter of life, because of what God has to say. I must believe that the unborn child has a fundamental right to life which cannot be infringed. As such, I must support, not because of Republicans or Democrats, I must support a human life amendment to the Constitution and endorse legislation that makes it clear that the 14th Amendment protections apply to the unborn child. I must do it because I'm a Christian and God speaks to me about life. Number two, not only does God have something to say about life, God has something to say about marriage. Folks, the Bible is filled with what God has to say. God determined marriage between a man and a woman long before there were Republicans or Democrats. And because of what God says about marriage, I, a Christian man, must support any call for a federal marriage amendment that fully protects marriage. I cannot support any call for federal or state judges or bureaucrats, for that matter, that have the right to recognize other living arrangements as equivalent to marriage, because God has something to say about marriage. This has got nothing to do with politics and people. It's what God says. God has something to say about life. He governs my vote. God has something to say about marriage. He governs my vote. God has something to say about morality, what is right and what is wrong. God's word is filled with it. God calls me to live to that standard, and by His Spirit, I am convicted of matters concerning sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And Jesus looks into the heart of this Christian man as I enter into the polling booth, and He says, "You, Don Wilton, are salt and light." And if you want to know why America is getting less and less tasty, it's because more and more Christians are opting out of America. They're removing the salt from society, and we're losing our taste. We're losing our taste. Oh God, would You bless this beautiful land called America? So what must we do? Where does it leave us? 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Number one, I must humble myself. We're not humbling ourselves. We put ourselves at the center of everything we do. I stand for this. I want you to know I have my rights. If it suits me, this is what I want. This is what I need. I want. I need. I want. I need. We ask, listen, what's good for the American people is the wrong question. What we should be asking is not what's good for the American people, but what's good for God. What's good for God? What's good for God? That's the question we should be asking. We've got to humble ourselves. Number two, we've got to seek God's face. We no longer do that. We're not willing to ask God. We're Americans. We've got the Constitution. Are you kidding me? I'm not going to ask God. I'm not going to seek His face. And then we need to pray. We need to get on our face and seek the face of God. America, we need to pray this coming week. We need to pray for our people. We need to pray for the president. We need to pray for one another, because the Bible says when we do that, God will heal this land. God bless America. Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? And ask every head bowed and every eye closed. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Oh God, our God, our Maker and our Redeemer, we humble ourselves in Your presence, for You alone are God. We are nothing. Lord, we talk of ourselves like we occupy the seat of power in the world. But we are nothing. Not a one of us. For we stand in the presence of a righteous and a holy God. Lord, we seek your face. We want to look upon your face. And having looked upon your face, we want our faces to shine with the Shekinah glory of one who has been in the presence of a righteous God. So that when we come down from the mountain, as did Moses, that our people would see God in us. And then, Lord, we want to pray. We want to pray because we have such a privilege being Americans. We want to pray because we love this country so much. We want to pray, oh God, because we care deeply about a land that we leave for our sons and our daughters. Lord, there have been so many people in years gone by who have fought, who've stood up and been counted so that we can have a land like this, and now it's our turn. We pray because we care about the future of our land. But Lord Jesus, we pray because we know that we've got a Christian duty to perform. Forgive us for our apathy. Forgive us for our carelessness. Forgive us, Lord, because we've been intimidated. Forgive us, Lord, because we're afraid of the popularity contest. Forgive us, Lord, because we're dead scared that someone might write us a letter and have something to say about it. Forgive us, Lord, for running when we should stop and turn around and stand up and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let us every day make a vote that counts for righteousness. Let us every day be committed to voting Jesus. Lord, help us because we are weak and helpless. Help our land. Bless people all across this land, Lord, who occupy seats of authority, that they might have the respect most of all from the God who is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, bless America, we pray. We pray to you today. God bless you.
Perhaps as you've been praying along with the pastor about so many things, including God's blessing on America, you realize you want God's blessing on your life as well. And that starts with an important decision that we all have the opportunity to make. You've heard Dr. Don as he's been teaching and preaching from the pulpit. Now as he steps into the studio, open your heart to what he wants to share next.
Are you ready to give your heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm so happy to hear that. Why don't you pray this prayer with me today? Dear God, I know that you love me very, very much. And I know that the Lord Jesus Christ came and died on a cross so that I might be forgiven of my sin. Today, I repent of my sin. I confess my sin to you. And I invite you to come into my heart and into my life by faith. In Jesus' name I pray. If you've prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. This is wonderful. I hope that you know how much I'm going to be praying for you and how very important this is for me. Call us so that we can talk to you and connect you in the right place so you can begin this wonderful journey. And in just a moment, I'm going to come back with a final word.
If the Lord has touched your heart and you are praying along with Dr. Wilton to give your life to Christ or rededicate your life to Jesus, we have wonderful free resources Dr. Wilton wants you to have if you'll call and let us know about your decision. 866-899-WORD is our phone number. That's 866-899-9673. But you can also connect with us and ask about those free resources for you if you've given your life to Christ or rededicate your life to Jesus just by meeting us at our website, TEW Online. TEWonline.org. That's TEWonline.org. And while you're there, you'll see a remarkable opportunity to get involved in this final few days of the year with a remarkable matching challenge.
Wow, God has done incredible things again this year through the Encouraging Word Broadcast Ministry. Do you know that over 135,000 people have called us, telling us what this ministry means to them in their spiritual life, and so many are coming to know Jesus. A friend has just given a $200,000 challenge gift to this ministry, and we are asking, as he is asking, that our listeners will give an additional $300,000 to this ministry by December 31st so that God's word can continue to go out across the world. In London recently, someone came up to me and said, "Thank you for the encouraging word and for what it means. Would you help me do this?" If all of us participated, even at $2 to $3 to $4 each, God will help us to reach this goal together. Yes, we can do it.
If God's leading you to get involved, call and share your gift at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or you can give online right now at TEWonline.org. That's TEWonline.org. Both Dr. Wilton and I are members of a church staff. We don't take any money from the resources of the Encouraging Word. We push that into the opportunity to purchase more airtime and share Jesus with more and more people. Dr. Wilton doesn't take a penny from any of his book sales. It all goes into the ministry. That's just the kind of ministry you would be giving to if you would share your gift right now at 866-899-WORD or meet us online at TEWonline.org. And please know, it's not all about funding. As a matter of fact, our pastor's heart is much less about fundraising and more about ministry. As a matter of fact, before we go away, Dr. Don has a closing thought.
You know, before we go today, what a day of worship we've had. You know, you and I have in the middle of our hearts our beloved nation, don't we? How much I love America. I'm so proud to be an American. And you know, this broadcast is seen by so many of our armed forces across the world, and we hear from many, many of them, and we love them, we admire them, we respect them. They are our real heroes, and I want you to join with me as we are praying for them, that God would protect them and their families and loved ones. Let's do that right now, shall we? Just before we go, why don't you join with me? Lord Jesus, I'm joining with thousands of people right now and praying for our members, our brave, brave members of our community and our world who are in uniform. Many are overseas in strange and difficult places, families left behind. Lord Jesus, bless them. Keep your hand upon them in every way. In Jesus' name, amen.
On the next edition of The Encouraging Word, Dr. Wilton takes us to the book of Acts with this message: when God acts, how do you react? It's our prayer that as we study the Word together, we'll understand not only how to act, but better how to react to our Lord when He leads us. Between now and then, let's stay connected online at TEWonline.org. And of course, available for prayer anytime at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673.